You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So that was pretty fun. Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your daily and post-game home for commentary on the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. What a Thursday night it was for the Rockets in Phoenix. 142-116 winners over the Suns. Rockets now 12-4 on the year, and coupled with Golden State's loss to Boston, the Rockets are now back as the solo number one in the Western Conference. Best record again at 12-4. In case you haven't heard, the 90 points the Rockets scored in the first half, more than the Warriors scored in their entire game, 88, in Boston. I know there are some extenuating circumstances with, well, the Celtics are a much better defensive team than the Suns, but I'm not going to get tired of pointing out that fact anytime soon. What a night it was for the Rockets, though. Just a complete beatdown again, up 90-65 at the half, and were able to coast the entire second half to that 142-116 win. James Harden led the way, 48 points, 7 assists. More importantly, it was the return of Chris Paul, and in just 21 minutes, still had a double-double, 11 points, 10 assists. We'll get into all the individual stat lines in a moment, but I do want to start with a caveat of, yes, it is the Phoenix Sun. This is the team that went into the game allowing 115 points per game. They don't really stop the ball from a guard perspective. They also don't really have the personnel up front to switch. So it was a perfect storm for a team led by maybe the two best and certainly smartest playmakers in the game at the guard spots, being James Harden and Chris Paul, to take advantage. And that they did. Now, certainly you wouldn't expect even the worst team ever to give up 142 and 90 in the first half. So the Rockets, no matter who you can play against air, and it's tough to score 90 in a first half. So the Rockets deserve a lot of credit for that. But you do have to point out the level of competition. This was not putting up against the Boston Celtics, so I would not blow any individual stat line out of proportion. I think more than any individual, though, the positive you take out of this is the return of Chris Paul, the continued domination of James Harden, and of course what that means for the role players that are surrounding them and the chemistry that we've seen the Rockets have through these first 16 games of the year, in which they're, again, 12-4, now back as the solo number one in the Western Conference when you combine the Rockets' win and Warriors' loss last night. Now I'll start with Harden because, folks, he was just absolutely filthy. 48 points, 7 assists, but he did it on 12 of 22 shooting and 6 of 11 from behind the arc, 18 of 18 from the foul line. So yeah, he's 37 of 37 from the free throw line the last two nights, which is ridiculous. But it's actually the three-point shooting that I think we really should kind of point out, because not only is Harden leading the league by far in three-point makes, I believe he's 16 ahead of the second highest, which is Klay Thompson, but not only is Harden the highest by far in terms of just overall three-point makes, he's now shooting 39.8%, basically 40% from three, despite that high volume. That is an incredible figure. Now, it might go down a little bit, but at 16 games, especially when you look at Harden, who is averaging 11 three-point attempts per game in terms of attempts, it's not like this is a small sample. This is 16 games of extremely high-volume shooting, and he is connecting at an almost 40% clip. That is phenomenal. We have said so much throughout this year about the Rockets as a team, their collective three-point shooting being a little bit, the collective three-point shooting percentage being a little bit artificially low due to the volume. The logic, of course, being that if you take substantially more threes than the average team, some of them are going to be probably less quality looks, and so your overall percentage, your raw percentage total is going to be a little bit lower than it would be if you were more selective. Well, in the case of Harden, he's taking more and he's making more. We almost take him for granted around here. Of course, he's the MVP frontrunner. He should have won the main media MVP in two of the past 3 years. He should be going for his third MVP in 4 years. But for those of us in Houston, don't let whatever narratives are out there in the national media prevent you from giving him his due. Because the thing about James Harden, the work ethic that he has to continually get better, to improve upon his game in the offseason, I thought it was very telling, the Chris Paul documentary, and this was something we pointed out here a couple of weeks ago, when Chris was going through his free agency courtship process, and, well, I know he wasn't technically a free agent, but that's just a technicality. When Chris was getting those calls from James, and they asked him what he thought about James, the two words he kept going back to were gym rat. And I know there are a lot of folks around the league who don't think that of James Harden. But folks, that's on them. That's not because it's the reality. Because the reality, what you see from James Harden, well, first off, it's incredible that he's out there as much as he is to take on the workload of a guy who, even without, well, now without Chris Paul for the past 14 games until Thursday night, just an enormous usage rate, averaging more than 30 points and 10 assists per game. And yet, despite that kind of usage every year, again, they signed Chris Paul to take that down a notch, but it's not as if Chris has been out there for any sort of substantial amount of time yet. So pretty much over the course of James's, well, five, now his sixth season in Houston, he has had an enormous burden, yet somehow his fitness is such that he's never even had a major injury. Knock on wood, his durability is almost unmatched amongst NBA superstars. And then in addition to all of that, all the weaknesses, you've asked him to improve his defense. He's done that. I saw some in the preseason that were worried about his shooting. Well, folks, he is shooting at an elite clip of almost 40%, despite by far being the NBA's highest volume shooter, both from an attempts standpoint and a make standpoint. That's something that's not just flukish when you are shooting 11 a game through the first 16 games. That reflects the work he put in on his stroke in the offseason, the work, of course, that the Rockets shooting coaches are doing with him. But when you see that level of volume combined with that level of efficiency, I mean, that is out of this world. And it's not like James Harden is getting that many good looks. I mean, this is a guy who for 14 of the 16 games without Chris Paul has been far and away the leading emphasis for the opposing defense. So to see all that and yet still have him shooting this otherworldly, basically 40% from three, 45% from the field as a whole, now in the last two games, 37 of 37 from the free throw line, that is incredible efficiency. It is so easy when you're given that kind of a burden to slip into volume shooter mode, to just say, well, it's going to be on me regardless. I'll eventually figure it out. The way that James Harden has taken on that burden and, well, first and foremost, continued over six seasons in Houston, not gotten hurt, but secondly, taken on that burden while still retaining that same crisp sense of laser efficiency that he had going all the way back to his six-man days in Oklahoma City, and everyone was extrapolating how this production would be if he was given, you know, a number one option role. It is incredible. And that speaks to, obviously, his IQ, but beyond that, I think his work ethic, because every offseason, there's something new that he is trying to add to his game. And certainly there's technique issues. We've heard about catch and shoot, shots off the dribble, the mid-range game. We've heard little things here and there that he's worked on. But beyond that, I think it's just the stroke as a whole, because no matter how he's shooting it, it's really, I mean, it's a career year for James. And again, I know it's early in the season, but when you played 16 games and you're shooting 11 threes per game on average, that's a pretty big sample. And his shooting stroke appears to be that good. So I wanted to lead off by discussing that, because it's easy for Rockets fans to kind of take James for granted. Because again, this is a guy who should be going this year for his third MVP in 4 years. And we just take it for granted, and it's easy to talk about all the other supporting pieces because you know what you've got with James, and the question is just, do you have enough supporting help to give him, you know, what Steph Curry and Kevin Durant have in Golden State, that sort of thing. Big picture, that's the question. But when you see a game like Thursday night in which James has 48 points on more than 50% shooting from the field and from three, and 18 of 18 from the line, 37 of 37 in his last two games, I want to start off by giving him his due, because this is just absolutely incredible production from James Harden to start the year. But what's important for the big picture direction of the Rockets, and I do want to transition to that, because I know big picture, it's not just about an individual. You want that individual to lead you to a ring. And for the Rockets to do that, the question has never been about James. The question is about his supporting cast. And the big move the Rockets made this offseason to get them closer to that goal of winning a championship was the acquisition of Chris Paul. Thursday was just his second regular season game, but boy, did he look strong. 11 points, 10 assists, as I said, in his 21 minutes. The key thing for me was that Chris moved with a crispness. It was just night and day different if you watch how he was moving relative to that game on October 17th, the season opener at Oakland. It was night and day different. This is a guy who had his burst back. You saw it in the fact that, well, he was able to step into two threes. He was able to penetrate more. It wasn't just a guy who was organizing the offense, trying to grit and grind his way through and just you know, provide a little bit of value wherever he can. This was a guy who looked like a legitimate floor general, a legitimate penetrating point guard who made plays happen, not just from an IQ standpoint, but also from the fact that, yes, in addition to his obvious gifts of intelligence and how he sees the floor, is also, by the way, a really quick player, has a lot of athletic gifts, and of course combined with a great shooting touch, 2 of 4 from behind the arc. That was a big part of the Rockets shooting 21 of 44 from behind the arc as a team because, yeah, James Harden and Chris Paul, between them, were 8 of 15. So, yeah, that sets the tone very well. But Chris, yeah, it was great to see him moving around that well because it tells you that the Rockets handled this injury the right way. For all the criticism that Mike D'Antoni gets, and a lot of it's warranted, about playing his veterans too often, especially early in the season, and then we look at what happened late last season in the playoffs when Harden and a lot of the team seemed to run into a fatigue wall in that second round series against the Spurs. I get the criticism of D'Antoni not playing his bench enough, extending his starters too far, not properly managing the grind of an 82-game season, but if you're going to be critical of that, you need to be honest when they handle it correctly and give them their due. And this situation with Chris Paul, they absolutely did that. Because, folks, at the end of the day, it's about getting this team as ready to play as possible by April, by May, for that what we hope is a 2-month playoff run to the NBA Finals. And at the end of the day, Chris Paul missing 3 or 4 weeks in October and November, that's a drop in the bucket. No one's even going to remember that if he's healthy. And in this case, of course, he's still not all the way back. He played 21 minutes Thursday. The plan is for him to play just 20 minutes a game or so on this road trip to Phoenix and Memphis. Then they'll reassess because they have a few days off before the next game, which I believe isn't until next Wednesday at home when the Rockets return to Houston. Maybe they scale him back up to full minutes or closer to full minutes by the Wednesday game against Denver. So for now, yes, it's just 20 minutes per game. But in those 20 minutes, boy, he looked himself because, yeah, he just had a spring to his step, certainly attacking off the dribble. Also, I thought his stroke looked a lot more pure. You were seeing him get his normal elevation on threes as opposed to a guy who just did not really look comfortable in any facet in that opener in Oakland. And still, to his credit, 11 assists, 8 rebounds. He had good defense on Stephen Curry. Chris Paul is a smart enough player that he can grit it out no matter what, but Thursday, I thought you saw a healthy Chris Paul, and that's what I'm focusing on, because yeah, a lot of players had great individual lines in this one. We haven't even talked about Ryan Anderson yet, who had season best 24 points, 6 of 10 from behind the arc. There were a lot of individual standouts. Clint Capella had another double-double, 12 and 10, 6 of 11 from the field in just 21 minutes, also had a couple blocks. But yes, it's the Phoenix Suns. Let's be real about that. This is not a good defensive team, and the Rockets took full advantage of that. I think the big picture takeaways are Harden's continued otherworldly efficiency, and then Chris Paul, I don't care who he's going up against, seeing him move with that level of fluidity is just a very encouraging sign. He looked healthy, and the Rockets, again, for all the criticism Mike D'Antoni gets for sometimes playing his veterans a little too much, they've managed this Chris Paul injury, in my opinion, very, very well, because it feels like whatever happened, and I know it started October 11th with that knee bump with Mario Chalmers in Memphis, Chris seems to be in really good shape now and in a really, really good place. Again, 11 points, 10 assists, plus 12 in his 21 minutes. I thought it was very encouraging. I also really loved, and this goes back to the preseason, I pointed out during the game, I think there's a certain synergy between Chris Paul and Ryan Anderson that can be really good for Ryan as a scorer. Now, Ryan this year, it's been mixed because traditional numbers don't show him being that strong. Now, some of the advanced numbers actually show Ryan as ahead of where he was last year because Ryan, he did lose some weight in the offseason. He is quicker, so he hasn't been as much of a liability defensively for the Rockets, but you haven't really seen him have the scoring explosion games that he has a year ago. So even though, of course, he's still providing value with his huge spacing, you're seeing lots of just subtle contributions that he provides on both ends of the court, a very high IQ player, but you haven't really seen him have those bursts that he had a year ago. And I think that's where the return of Chris Paul could help him. Because if you watch, certainly Chris Paul and James Harden, they're both great point guards, but they're great in different ways. And for the Rockets, what we heard from Mike D'Antoni before the game is that even in 20 minutes, the priority for them is to have one of Chris or James on the floor at all times, as long as the game is close. To them, that is even more important than integrating Chris and James together, because I think the Rockets feel like, well, Chris and James are dominant enough, they'll eventually figure that out. They're not that worried about that. What they're worried about are the lulls in the first 6 minutes, and they did tweak the rotation a little bit, so maybe that's not the case. We saw in the first half, they brought James out with about 3 minutes left in the first quarter. So maybe there'll be some little tweaks like that. We'll have to see going forward. Again, it's a small sample size, one game against Phoenix, and Chris limited to 20 minutes. I don't know if you draw any long-term conclusions from that. It might have to do with Chris's limited minute total as well. But you see from the Rockets, the priority is to, for right now, to have one of those guys out there for all 48 minutes. And I know some want to see Chris and James together more, but I think the Rockets say, hey, these guys are so talented, they're so dominant, they're eventually going to figure it out. The priority, one, is to not have those lulls where you don't have Harden out there and then the offense slows to a crawl. Priority is to have one Hall of Fame point guard out there for all 48 minutes. And especially over the regular season, I think they see that as their way to just bludgeon most teams to death. So that's what they did, and, you know, yes, both are great point guards, but they're great in different ways. With Harden, yes, it's valuable to have guys like Ryan Anderson out there for spacing. Let's give Trevor Ariza his due as well. He was quality in this one, 35 minutes, 11 points on 4 of 8 shooting, 3 of 5 from behind the arc. Again, just a fabulous night all the way around for the Rockets shooting, 21 of 44 as a team. PJ Tucker off the bench, I haven't even talked about him, 8 points, 9 rebounds, 2 of 4 from three, huge energy game for him as well in the absence of Luke Mute, who was out due to illness. Thankfully, not a flare-up of the knee, just an illness for Luke. My guess is he'll be fine by Saturday in Memphis. But getting back to the point, the way the offense runs with Chris and Paul, it's different. With James, it's a little more simple. Yes, you need shooters out there for spacing, and occasionally, you know, if the defense overcommits to James or Clint on the pick and roll, then yes, you're going to need to dish it to one of them. But when James is leading the way, it tends to be a lot simpler, I would call it. You tend to see that high pick and roll an awful lot with Clint Capela, and either James attacking downhill himself, because James, lethal scorer, again, 48 points Thursday night, averaging over 31 points per game on the season, almost 32 actually, 31.8. So yeah, you have James, 6'5", much bigger point guard, dominant scorer himself. He's either looking to attack himself off the dribble, or he's looking to get Clint Capela involved in the lob game on the rolls. And of course, he's looking to get fouled as well, as evidenced by 37 of 37 the last two games. With James, it's simpler. With Chris, it's a little different, because with Chris, he's a guy certainly smaller. This is not 6'5", and he's also, while he can score, he's certainly not a 30 points per game scorer at the NBA level. Chris, at 6', maybe not quite the explosion he had earlier in his career, it's a little more of a cerebral approach. Yes, you still have some pick and roll action, but you have more cutting. You have more all five guys involved, in my opinion. We saw a couple of times Eric Gordon cutting to the basket. I thought that was a wonderful sign. Eric Gordon last night, I thought, you know, he was plus 22 in his 26 minutes, and Eric actually shot 1 of 7 from three. So that shows you the level of, certainly defense, which we've seen improve from Eric all year long, but he was 3 of 3 inside the arc, even had an alley-oop at one point. But you saw a lot more cuts, and I think that speaks well to the folks wondering, well, what's going to happen when Eric's not the number one option, when Harden's not in the game? Well, in theory, it should free Eric up to do some more off-ball things, which, yes, spot up for threes, and eventually he'll make them. He's just in a cold stretch now, 4 of 25 in his last three games. But beyond that, he can cut to the basket. He can do things off the ball. And so when you have Chris Paul running the show instead of James Harden, you have more, I would say, just all five players that are doing different things, because you're not necessarily looking at the main ball handler, and this time being Chris instead of James, being as dominant of a scorer. So what that ends up meaning is that any one of the five is capable of getting the ball. Now, I'm not saying that's not the case when James runs the pick and roll, but I think with James, there's a clear number one and a clear number two between him and Clint Capela. And certainly the other guys out there, they may get a look, especially if the initial action dies, and maybe if Eric's out there. Thankfully, that's helped them a lot this year with initiating some secondary action. But the primary action, it's James and Clint. And then if someone overcommits, then you get one of these other shooters the ball, because either James or Clint drew a double team or somebody trying to chip, help, that sort of thing. With Chris, it's a little different. With Chris, he's, again, not as dominant and explosive of a scorer, but he's also even better as a passer. And that's not a knock on James, because James is a phenomenal passer, again, averaging over 10 assists per game. But we're talking about Chris Paul, who is arguably the second best point guard behind Magic Johnson in the history of basketball. He's that good. So it's not a knock on James, just Chris's vision is out of this world. It's not, you know, you can't compare it to anyone else. So what that means, but you combine that with the fact that he's not as dynamic of a scorer, all five of those other guys are capable of getting the ball at any point. And so what you see a lot more of with Chris are just these whip passes. They can go all the way. He can make, there were a couple of threes that he found Ryan for where Chris was on one side of the court and he literally flipped it just to the complete opposite side to Ryan on the wing. No matter where you are on the court, Chris is capable of finding you, and he's capable of whipping the ball there very, very quickly and often does it in stride. That's a little thing, but that's where you can see why he's called the point god. The fact that Chris, not only does he get it to shooters, he gets it to shooters where basically in one motion they are getting it and they are able to launch and fire. It's not like they have to gather themselves because the pass is a little low or high, whatever it may be. But Ryan in particular, I think there have been a lot of synergies. You go back to preseason, because I know Chris has only played two games in the regular season for the Rockets, and one of those, the game against Golden State, he was very limited. But you actually go back to the preseason when he was healthy, I thought the chemistry between Chris and Ryan in particular was very, very good. And so I think that's encouraging for the Rockets, because yes, Ryan still gives you a lot no matter what, based on just how well he can shoot, based on his spacing, just the potential gives them a lot. Now he's a better defender this year because he's lighter. But now I think you're probably going to see Ryan have some better shooting games as well, now that you're capturing that chemistry and the synergies between his style and Chris. Because with Chris, again, it's less about just a two-man pick and roll, and it's more about, yes, they're going to do some of the same action, but instead of it just being so clear on what you're trying to do, it's very possible that anybody can score. And to that point, I think it actually makes a lot more sense to play Chris Paul and Eric Gordon together, because whatever you lose in terms of maybe Chris not being quite as dynamic a scorer himself leading that pick and roll, well, you gain, because while you have Eric playing off the ball, oftentimes cutting, and you know, the two of them, between them, it can make up for any loss that comes when you don't have the explosive scoring of James Harden in the game. But yeah, because you have Chris out there, I think it's going to make those secondary options, and when I say secondary, I mean going all the way down to number three, number four, number five, whoever's in the court at a given time, all of them are capable of getting shots at any moment. That was the case with Ryan on Thursday. Again, season best 24 points, 6 of 10 from behind the arc. And yeah, if you watch the game, a lot of it was based on his chemistry with Chris Paul and just how well those two played together. So I think that's going to be the story to watch. It's not so much about Chris and James together. It's about, as I said, the Rockets getting 48 minutes of Hall of Fame-level point guard production. That's the biggest priority, especially over the grind of an 82-game season. That's going to be enough to where you don't know when it will come, but ultimately the other team is probably going to have a soft stretch that the Rockets don't, because they always have, you know, an elite floor general leading the way. And then, you know, you watch and you'll see some diversity in approach, because Chris is a different, you know, both of great point guards, but they have different approaches. And in some ways, I think that might be better overall for the team, because the diversity in approach, I mean, it's going to keep the defense on their heels, because you can't get used to just defending one particular way, because when James does it, there's a certain way. When Chris does it, there's a different way. And then just imagine then when you get to the last 6 minutes of a first half, or especially the last 6 minutes of a game, and you have both of those guys out there at the same time, and you've been going up against these radically different styles throughout the game. And then when both are out there, you have no idea what's going to happen. And in theory, you could see all of it in one action. If the first doesn't work, then you go to Chris. Or, you know, if Chris's action doesn't work, then you go to James attacking. So just that combination of styles, ultimately, I think that's going to be great for them. I don't think that Thursday is necessarily going to be a fair template, because, again, the 90-point first half, yes, it was electric, 142 for the game. But it's the Phoenix Suns. I don't want to blow any individual effort out of proportion, because certainly you have to adjust for just a bad defensive team and Phoenix. But boy, just James and Chris in general, Chris looking as healthy as he is, there are some trends from that game you can take no matter what the opponent is, even playing against air, that are very encouraging. And I think the Rockets, you can't help but feel good about what you saw last night with that 142-116 win led by James Harden and Chris Paul. That's about as feel good as it gets. Again, Rockets back in the pole position, number one in the Western Conference with that 12-4 record. But you can't be happy for too long, because the Rockets, they've lost twice to Memphis already this year. They go to Memphis on Saturday. That's going to be a very different game. Part of the thing with the Suns, based on their young guards, Devin Booker, we know the types of athletes they present. Because of all of that, they want to get the pace up. And because they play with pace, that only helps the Rockets, because we know with Mike D'Antoni, they want to play with pace. So that kind of plays right into the Rockets' hands. From here, they go to Memphis, and not just Memphis, but playing in Memphis. So that's the ultimate scenario, where you have a team that's known for slowing it down, that grit and grind, and then you have it in their gym, where they're probably going to get a friendly whistle. Folks, that's going to be a 180-degree flip in terms of the style of the game. So that's why the Rockets, and I'm sure they're very aware of Memphis because they've lost to them twice already this year. So I'm sure they take the Grizzlies seriously, but that's why I think you can't get too high from this one game, because certainly you're going to see another challenge Saturday night, a fairly significant challenge. But as I said, the key for the Rockets long-term, you've got two top 10 players in Chris Paul and James Harden, and if both of them are healthy and clicking, then ultimately you're going to have some games where the tempo is going to be like it was Thursday, and you can put up 90.5. I don't know if that will happen again, but I'm sure you'll have some where you at least put up 120, 130 in a game, and then there are going to be others that are slow. But the bottom line is, if you have Chris Paul and James Harden and they are clicking, and then you have the role players like Clint Capella, like Eric Gordon, who again was plus 22 in his 26 minutes, if you have those level of role players, and then Ryan Anderson, who can go off for 24 points, 6 of 10 from behind the arc at any time, the talent is such that no matter what the style is, the Rockets should be able to get wins against most teams in the NBA. That's part of why they're 12-4. But going forward, of course, this season's all about the integration of Chris Paul and James Harden, having a Hall of Fame floor general out there for all 48 minutes. And to me, that's the real takeaway from Thursday night, that folks, Chris is healthy. He looks ready to go. And so even with the opponent, even adjusting for all the things you can say about Phoenix's defense, and they're not good, and certainly it's not going to be what you face Saturday night at the Grindhouse in Memphis, or whatever the hell they call it, I don't see how you cannot feel good about that game if you're a Rockets fan. So, yeah, I don't know how to say it better than that, so I guess I will stop right there. As always, thanks to you guys for listening. If you want to follow me on Twitter for more of my takes, you can do so at Ben Dubose, or you can follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnRockets. You can also email us, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program for you, the diehard Rockets fan. Once again, happy final from Phoenix on Thursday evening. Rockets 142, Suns 116. Rockets back in action Saturday night in Memphis, and I look forward to talking with you guys then. For now, happy Friday, Houston. Have a good weekend. And yeah, let's talk basketball again tomorrow night once the Rockets get back in action, back in the number one spot now in the Western Conference at 12-4 and resuming play Saturday night in Memphis. Look forward to breaking that down with you on Twitter and, of course, right here after the game on Locked On Rockets.